The first Sunday of Lent, Year B. The first reading from the book of Genesis. God said to Noah and to his son with him, "See, I am now establishing my covenant with you and your descendants after you, and with every living creature that walks with you, all the birds, and the various tame and wild animals that were with you and came out of the ark. I will establish my covenant with you, that never again shall all bodily creature be destroyed by the water of a flood. There shall not be another flood to devastate the earth." God added, "This is the sign that I am giving for all ages to come of the covenant between me and you and every living creature with you. I set my bow in the cloud to serve as a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring cloud over the earth and the bow appear in the clouds, I will recall the covenant I have made between me and you and all living beings, so that the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all mortal beings." The second reading from the first letter of Peter. Beloved, Christ suffered for sin once, the righteous for the sake of the unrighteous, that he might lead you to God. Put to death in the flesh, he was brought to life in the Spirit. In it, he also went to preach the Spirit in prison, who had once been disobedient, while God patiently waited in the day of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few persons, 8 in all, were saved through water. This refigured baptism will save you now. It is not a removal of dirt from the body, but an appeal to God for a clear conscience through the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who had gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angels, authority, and power subjected to him. The Gospel according to Mark. The Spirit drove Jesus out into the desert, and he remained in the desert for 40 days, tempted by Satan. He was among wild beasts, and the angel ministered to him. After John had been arrested, Jesus came to Galilee proclaiming the gospel of God. "This is the time of fulfillment. The kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." Sharing the reading by Father Anthony Tien. Theme: the important role of the good news in repentance and in salvation. Today is the beginning of the Lenten season. The word of God showed right away the key to happiness and the cause of our misery. This important point can be explained as follows. People sin because they, in general, don't exactly know all results that they must endure. If they know in advance, maybe they shall not dare to do it. When they sin, they must endure all terrible results, whether they know it or not. That is why we can say that our misery is the result of our ignorance of the truth. To show our misery, we need to know the truth, or terrible result that can happen for our bad deed, and all good result from our good deed. These are virtues, especially in Christ's gospel and generally in the scripture. Therefore, the word of God must have the most important position in our daily life, above everything. If we want to avoid our misery and to achieve happiness in the present and the next life. Today's reading shows the connection between sin and punishment, and between the good news and the salvation. In the first reading, the author of Genesis showed what happened to humankind before and after the great flood. God couldn't endure people's sin, so he wiped out all of them, except Noah's family, and what were in the ark with his family. In the second reading, the author of the first Peter compared the great flood with Christ's death. As the great flood wiped out all human sin and people, save Noah's family, Christ's death also wiped out all human sin and bring salvation to humankind. Christ's event fulfilled God's promise that he shall not destroy people as in the great flood. In the gospel, Christ was brought into the desert to be tempted in 40 days. But he triumphed over all temptation because he knew his mission on earth. After that, he began his mission of preaching the good news and bring salvation to all people. The first reading, Noah's family and all Israel with him in the ark were saved from the great flood. First, human sin are the reality. The book of Genesis from chapter 2 to chapter 11 reported in detail all kinds of human sin. Thirdly, our first ancestor, Adam and Eve, disobeyed God and ate the food which God prohibited them. As the result, they and all humankind must endure terrible results from this sin. Expulsion from the Eden Garden, hard working to earn a living, bodily pain, easily to commit sin because of ignorance, and finally, separation from God. Secondly, with the murder, Cain killed Abel, his young brother, out of jealousy. He was angry because God didn't pay attention to his offering. Cain must endure all terrible results from God. Thirdly, the sin of pride again. People wanted to build a tower so they could ascend to heaven to see God and to leave their name for future generations. As a result, God let them speak different languages so that they could communicate with each other. They must disperse in different areas of the earth. Lastly, all other sin were the result that led to the great flood. God saved Noah's family because he was the only one who trusted in God and walked in the righteous way. Second article. God's love for humankind is everlasting. Even in punishment, God's love was still revealed in all cases. In the great flood, after seeing the terrible result, God made a covenant with Noah, and he said, "Behold, I established my covenant with thou and thy descendant after thou, and with every living creature that is with thou, the bird, the cattle, and every beast of the earth with thou, as many as came out of the ark. I will establish my covenant with thou, that never again shall all flesh be cut off by the water of a flood, and never again shall there be a flood to destroy the earth. Human sin co-damages it, not only for themselves, but also for all creatures. The earth, the plant, the bird, the fish, animal, and wild beast. When people were holy, all of them obeyed and lived with people without causing damage for them. This so in the garden. The Noah Ark and Isaiah prophecy of the Messiah, Isaiah 11 from 6 to 9. That is why God promised with Noah included not only humankind, but also all creatures. He said, this is the sign of the covenant which I make between me and thou and every living creature that is with thou for all future generations. I set my bow in the cloud, and it shall be a sign of the covenant between me and the earth. When I bring cloud over the earth, and the bow is seen in the cloud, I will remember my covenant which is between me and thou, and every living creature of all flesh. And the water shall never again become a flood to destroy all flesh. Many people see the rainbow is the image of Christ, in which God fulfilled his promise. The second reading, God promised it fulfilled in Christ. Third, human beings continue to sin from Noah to Christ. People continue sin. But God kept his promise with Noah. He shall not destroy them by another great flood. How can God endure people's sin without punishing them? God had the plan of salvation, through which God shall give his only Son to die in people's place. Christ incarnated to bring the good news for people to know before he went to his passion, his death on the cross, and his glorious resurrection to wipe out people's sin and to bring salvation for them. Secondly, Christ was baptized in water and blood to redeem people. The author of the first letter of Peter and many church fathers make connection between the two events, the great flood and Christ's life. We can illustrate some of their points as follows. First, in the great flood, whoever didn't believe in God's warning and stay in the ark was wiped away by the flood. In a similar way, whoever refused to believe in Christ will endure a similar fate. The author of the first letter of Peter confirmed, for Christ also died for sin, one for all, the righteous for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but make us alive in the spirit. First letter, chapter 3, verse 18. Second, the great flood is the symbol of baptism. The water in both events wipe away human sin, who formerly did not obey. When God patiently waited in the day of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is, 8 persons, were saved through water. baptism will correspond to this now schedule. First letter of Peter, chapter 3, verse 20 and 21. Third, the baptism vow. Is baptism water sufficient to bring salvation for people? Many sects believe so. This belief is wrong because before people are baptized, they are required to give up the devil and all of their allurement, and at the same time to believe only in the Trinity and the Church. The author of the first letter of Peter explained in detail, baptism will correspond to this now save you, not as a removal of dirt from the body, but as an appeal to God for a clear conscience to the resurrection of Jesus Christ, who had gone into heaven and is at the right hand of God, with angel authority and power subject to him. 4. Christ had power to save not only his contemporary and future generation, but also people of the past, including people who were destroyed in the Great Flood. The author explained, he went and preached to the spirit in prison, who formerly did not obey. When God patiently waited in the day of Noah, during the building of the ark, in which a few, that is 8 persons in all, were saved through water. Gospel. Christ begin the Messiah reign. First, Christ was tempted in the desert. Mark briefly reported this event before Jesus began his public ministry of announcing the good news as follows. The Spirit immediately drove him out of into the wilderness, and he was in the wilderness for 40 days, tempted by Satan. And he was with the wild beast, and the angel ministered to him. Eremos, intrigued, it not mean a desert, but a region of none or a few dwellers. The place of Jesus' temptation is called Kuruntu. It is a combination of a stony mountain and deep abysses. If one visits the place today, one can see a rectory of the monk who built it up in the midst of this wild environment. This is a very adventurous idea. If a pilgrim stands in the mountain opposite with Kuruntu, he must be in awe when he sees the rectory, because he cannot imagine that people can build the rectory at boxes stacked up on one another in the midst of this mountain. Those who live in that rectory can fall into the abysses below if they don't pay attention. This scene itself tells the pilgrim that the danger of the temptation. People can be dead if they dare fall into temptation. If one is lucky, he can walk through the rectory to the back door and then climb to the mountain top. In about 30 or more minutes, he can see the whole view of Jerusalem and Jericho. Mark report called the E-Garden, in which human beings live with Satan, wild beasts, and angels. When people didn't fall into temptation, they could live with them without fear. Even in the midst of temptation, God's angel was still present to help and to protect people. Mark didn't report these temptations in detail at Matthew and Luke. What Mark wanted to highlight is the difference between Adam, who miserably fell, and tried the new Adam, who conquered all temptation. Second, write and now the good news. Now, after John was arrested, Jesus came into Galilee, preaching the gospel of God and saying, "The time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent and believe in the gospel." The fulfilled time means the time which human being must wait, it ended. The Messiah reign began with Christ appearing. To him, all what God promised were fulfilled and completed. Jesus announced two important things. First, repentance. Like John the Baptist, Jesus required people to recognize their sin and to repent because people cannot receive God's forgiveness if they don't confess their sin. God's race requires human cooperation. Secondly, believing in the good news. This is the difference between Jesus and John Baptist. What it meant when Mark said to believe in the good news. There are many, but we can outline some of the important things. First, the good news is Christ himself, which I included all of his teaching and his deeds. Secondly, all what God promised are achieved in Christ in God's plan of salvation. Thirdly, God's love is stronger than human sin. As the Father, God doesn't think any sin can take away his love for his people, except the stubborn sin of unrepentance. And lastly, Christ must endure all suffering to deserve God's justice. Lastly, Christ liberates people from sin and brings salvation to all. A few applications in our life. God's love is powerful than all human sin. He is always ready to forgive. In order to be saved, people must learn about the good news, believe in Christ, and be baptized. As Christ was tempted and triumphant, he can help us to conquer the devil's temptation by his teaching. In the case of our falling into temptation, we have the sacrament of penance to confess our sin and to receive God's forgiveness. The devil cannot do anything if we always repent and believe in the good news. The only way he can win is when people are so lazy to learn Scripture. When people are ignorant of God's truth, they become the devil's slave. Lent is the appropriate time for us to read Scripture and to believe in God's love for us. Amen.